Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Joining us right now is Grant Wall of Sports Illustrated. We'll talk a little World Cup. Not that I know a lot about it, but we're down to the final eight. And Grant will enlighten us. And he's also got a new book out called Masters of Modern Soccer. Grant, Joe Beningo in New York, how are you?
I'm good, Joe. How are you?
I'm good. Are you in Russia now? Is that where you are?
Yeah, I'm in Moscow.
You're in Moscow right now. Okay. Well, very good. How's the weather in Moscow? I know there's no games today. How's the weather in Moscow?
You know, it's been pretty good the whole tournament. Mostly sunny, not too hot, good soccer weather. First time I've ever been in Russia, and, you know, the experience has been good.
It's been good. So the Russian people have accepted it, because all these people from around the world that are there now, it's been a good venue. Would you say it's been a really good venue for the World Cup?
You know, I mean, there's all sorts of stuff with Russia as a host and the political side of things,
right,
and
sure,
their state-sponsored sports doping program and all that stuff. So you can't have a full discussion without mentioning those things. But in terms of the games themselves at the World Cup, people have come here and had a good time. You know, it's been organized well. A lot of fans, the biggest surprise for me has been that even though we're in Europe, there have been more fans from Latin American countries here than European countries. So, for instance, when Colombia played England the other night, the Colombian fans outnumbered the England fans about 5-1 in the stadium.
Wow. Wow. Interesting. Talking to Grant Wall of Sports Illustrated with the World Cup. All right, Russia's in the mix here. They're playing Croatia, I guess, later on this week the semifinals, right? Am I correct?
So the quarterfinals are tomorrow.
The semifinals are next week. And you got Russia playing Croatia in the quarterfinals. How crazy is the country going right now for the Russian soccer team?
You know, the fans here are pretty excited. They had very low hopes for their own team heading into the tournament. They were the lowest ranked team in the World Cup coming in.
Mm-hmm.
And to get out of the group was, I thought, a pretty good achievement and surprised me. But then to eliminate Spain, the 2010 World Cup champion, in the round of 16 was totally unexpected by everyone. And so, yeah, whenever you're in a home country or a host country and the host nation does well in the tournament, it makes for a really good atmosphere. So people here are still really excited about this Russian team. And if they can beat Spain, they can surely give a game to Croatia.
Do you think they will? I mean, do you feel Croatia, I guess, is the favorite? It would be the favorite in this game. How do you feel about that? Do you think Russia's got a good chance to win this game?
I think Croatia's going to win the game, but I thought Spain would beat Russia as well. In terms of quality of team, Croatia was, for me, the best team in the tournament during the group stage. They weren't as good in the last game against Denmark. And if Denmark maybe figured out how to defend Croatia's midfield, you know, the Russians might be able to do the same and play for penalties. But I think overall, Croatia is clearly the better team than Russia, and they should advance.
How big a deal is it that Germany went out? I mean, they were defending champion from the last World Cup. They went out kind of very unceremoniously. I mean, how big a deal was it that they did not make it, you know, into the knockout round?
I mean, it's a huge, huge story that nobody expected. This World Cup has had the most surprises of any World Cup I've covered.
You know, okay.
I've covered seven of them on the men's side. But what is interesting to me is four of the last five defending World Cup champions have gone out in the group stage of the following tournament.
Interesting.
And I know it's a small sample size, but still, it does make you wonder if winning a World Cup causes players to become a little lax,
or maybe
a coach to stick with players too long. Germany deserved to go out. You know, they lost to Mexico. They lost to South Korea. They were a little too old, a little too slow. But most people I know, they were the pick to win the tournament before it started. So it's still a huge surprise. I can't believe it happened.
All right, how about England now? An interesting game. Sweden and England. Sweden beat Switzerland last week. I think it was 1-0 was that game. England won on penalty kicks, right? Did they not? They won their game on penalty kicks to get to the round of eight here. How about England? I know it's, what is it, 1966, I believe, the last time that they won a World Cup. Am I right saying that?
That's all correct. Okay. It's a very kind of feel-good story right now, this England team, because it's sort of a new type of England team that we haven't seen in the past. It's younger. The players are all very likable, and they're playing pretty good soccer, you know, and they're on the weaker side of the bracket, so they now see a path potentially to get to the World Cup final. And I think Sweden's going to be a difficult game. It's going to be a grind.
Mm-hmm.
But England is the better team, and certainly the more entertaining team, and we'll see if they can keep it going.
Talking to Grant Wall of Sports Illustrated. He's in Moscow for the World Cup right now. We're down to the final eight, if the elite eight of the World Cup. He's also got a book out called Masters of Modern Soccer. Will the United States, Grant, ever get to the point where they are realistically have a shot to win a World Cup? Do you see that in any way, shape, or form in any type of near future?
Well, I mean, they have on the women's side many times, but on the men's side, the point that I would make is that in the 2002 Men's World Cup, the U.S. got to the quarterfinals, outplayed Germany in the quarterfinals, and had a bad refereeing call keep them from a penalty and a red card for Germany. If the U.S. had actually won that game, they would have been in a semifinal against South Korea with a chance to go to the World Cup final, and that was 16 years ago in 2002.
Right, right.
And I think the U.S. obviously isn't in this World Cup. They didn't qualify. They didn't deserve
right,
to be here.
Right.
But things can happen. Surprises happen, as we've seen in this World Cup. And I look ahead to World Cup 26 now, where the U.S., along with Mexico and Canada, just found out they will be hosting World Cup 26. And I think the U.S. will be in a position by then to make potentially a deep run. And if you make a deep run, you put yourself in a position to compete to win the tournament. So I think it's possible, but U.S. soccer has a lot of work to do to get things going again, especially after the failure of missing out this time.
You know, as a guy who's really not a soccer guy, you know, I grew up in the United States, you know, I'm a baseball, football, basketball, you know, all of that kind of guy, okay? But I do pay attention.
Right.
The World Cup I'll pay attention to because it is the World Cup. It's a big deal, you know, and every other place in the world, it's the biggest deal. I get that. Here's a couple things that bother me about soccer, okay, on the world stage.
Mm-hmm.
Number one, this stupidity that the clock continues to run even when play is stopped. And you have this stoppage time at the end of the game where nobody really knows how much time, when the game's not over, when it's over, but it's not over. So this bothers me. Why can't they just stop the damn clock, Grant, when they're not playing? Can I ask you that?
You know, there's actually a discussion among some of us who, you know, this job is what we do, that maybe that wouldn't be a bad idea to have a countdown clock that stops when the ball is not in play. My friend Gabriel Marcotti is a London-based journalist, does stuff for ESPN, and he's convinced that is the way that soccer should go. So, you know, MLS had a countdown clock at one point when it first started as a mm-hmm. league. They ended up switching to the international norm. And I've just gotten so used to it that I think there are bigger problems in the sport that need to be addressed first, but I wouldn't have a problem with a countdown clock that stops when the ball is out of play.
Mm. I mean, they really should. The other thing that bothers me is how these guys fly. I mean, this is unbelievable. I'm watching these matches here, and a guy, like somebody will touch the other guy on the other team, like with his fingernail, and the guy's on the ground, like, oh, he may never walk again. I mean, and you see it like 10 times a game. I mean, it's a joke. I mean, how about that? I mean, doesn't that bother you, Grant, really?
Sure, of course it does. Neymar is the star of Brazil, and he has done that a lot in this tournament, and has gotten a lot of criticism for it, too, because it's starting to overshadow the fact that he's playing quite well, and they have a chance to win the World
right,
Cup.
Right.
But this embellishment stuff is way over the top, and I actually think it's hurting him on the field when it comes to getting calls, because there was an instance against Costa Rica where he was in the box, thought he had gotten a penalty, and there was some contact, but he embellished it so much that the instant replay, the VAR ref, waved off the penalty that was mm-hmm. originally called.
Wow.
And I think if Neymar had not been so exaggerated in falling over, if he just kind of fallen normally, he might have actually gotten that penalty.
Mm. It just happens. It happens way too much. I mean, it makes me insane. It really does. All right, so handicap me the final eight here. How do you see this playing out, Grant? How do you see it?
Well, one side of the bracket is much more difficult than the other. It's almost like a varsity side and a JV side. But Brazil and France are the two remaining big favorites, and they're on the same side, so they could face each other in the semis. If I'm going to go one way with that, I'd say Brazil, I guess.
Okay.
And then on the other side, right now, I think England might actually get to the final. And so a Brazil-England final would have a lot of storylines, but I like Brazil in that situation. So if I'm going to pick a team right now, I'd say the five-time world champions are about to win a sixth.
All right, so you like Brazil to win this. All right, you want to pump your book a little bit here? Masters of Modern Soccer? Give us a little feel about that, Grant.
Yeah, it's a book about the craft of soccer position by position. I spent 2 years interviewing some of the greats of the modern game about how they do their jobs on the field. So I have seven figures in the book. I have a goalkeeper, Manuel Neuer, a defender, Vincent Kompany, a defensive midfielder, Xabi Alonso, an attacking midfielder, Christian Pulisic, a forward, Chicharito Hernandez, a coach, Roberto Martinez, and a director of football, Michael Zorc from Borussia Dortmund. But the idea is to give readers a sense of the game and how it's done on the field and how it's thought through by the greatest practitioners that we have in the sport today, who are also the most intelligent at explaining how they do what they do.
Very good. Good stuff. Well, good luck with the book, and enjoy the rest of the World Cup. Enjoy your stay the rest of the time in Russia. All right, Grant?
Thanks so much. Good talking to you.
Take care. Grant Wall of Sports Illustrated. Again, he's got the book Masters of Modern Soccer. As we get ready for the final eight at the World Cup. All right, 877-337.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.